Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, damn, Skippy, you starting now. Happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Seth. Shout out to all you fine folks listening. Let's get it started and always get involved with the program. We need that. We want that. We desire that here. Do that by a few various mediums or media, I guess is the way that you would do that, plural. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. That's always open for you. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And yeah, man, there's a lot of different places where you can catch us outside. I mean, YouTube, Twitch, those are obviously there for you. Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, your smart speaker, just let them know.
Spotify, any of them.
Spotify's got us.
Yeah.
Really?
Spotify
is that just the podcast though?
It might be.
I was like, you can listen to us live.
Anywhere you can listen to it, you can listen to us.
And we appreciate you as you do that. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans later on in the program. I believe about 12:45 is the time that I will mark there. Let's have a little fun. We'll do a little college football on a Tuesday. We'll move that up in the show in order to accommodate D'Amico as well.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
I don't know that he cares, if we're going to be honest.
He knows our rundown.
I do wonder. I like the idea of D'Amico in his office. Like, hey, let's get through this. I need to go back and see.
Let me see what time Reggie and them on.
When's the question of the day?
Yeah, let me see what time Judge John Lopez come on. Is this a thing? Is a subsection of, like, is a type of segment that I would like to do here, if you don't mind, John Lopez, because we're coming out of the bye week. I think we're officially out of week six now with Monday Night Football getting run yesterday. Both games, which I'm very, very tired of. And of course, we have next week as well.
Yeah.
But we're headed into week seven. But week six as a bye week for the Texans obviously gave us an opportunity to just kind of think about the league at large. And one of the things that I was thinking about or that I was looking at was a thing that was just kind of one of those novelties that you go, huh. Mm-hmm. And I think we all do this where we see something, we go, is this a thing? And it was inspired by your week seven opponent, the Seattle Seahawks, particularly a certain player that played for the Ohio State University, Jackson Smith and Jigba. You didn't have to do it. I was like, we're not doing the call and response.
I'm feeling generous.
Okay,
today.
One of many receivers, you know, from the Ohio State
University. We're going to get into that even further. But like Jackson Smith and Jigba has been an absolute menace. Mm-hmm. And he's basically the focal point when it comes to that offense. And I don't know that anybody anticipated him being this to this degree, right? They traded away DK Metcalf, and you were like, it's Jackson Smith and Jigba and the Pips.
And honestly, I think even during the draft, I think people kept trying to put him as just only a slot receiver.
Right.
Every time you bring, oh, he's only a slot receiver.
Well,
I don't
hold
know if that
thought,
was not.
Figgy. Hold that thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, you've heard some of this when I was, because I asked you as well, like, is this a thing? So let's do a little bit of an experiment here to illustrate the thing that I'm trying to point to. Can you pull up the receiving leaders in the National Football
League? I'm looking at it right now.
All right. I would like you to do a segment that I like to call reading here, John Lopez.
Yes.
Who are the leaders? And when as John Lopez goes through this, dear listener, I want you to think about who are the type of receivers that you're seeing at the top?
Body
of
type,
production.
Type of role they've played traditionally, all of that.
Can I guess?
Yes.
The first thing I think about is like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Sure.
Just the big body receiver types. Mm-hmm.
And you would be incorrect. Well, kind of correct.
Yeah, I was like, we know that those dudes are tough.
Kind of correct. But the number one receiver in the NFL today as we sit here is Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I gave you that one. I told you up front that he has been
number
he's been
two.
Cooking.
Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Which it should be no surprise, and it's actually kind of a surprise.
Was he kind of a slot guy? Did they look at him as a slot guy?
I think so.
Yeah, we were talking about it when Cooper Kupp was still there. Like, how do you get these guys both activated with both of them seemingly being most productive in that same space?
Yeah. Three George Pickens.
All right.
From the Cowboys. Big dude.
That's a big dude. That's a big dude. That's an outside type of receiver.
Four, Emeka Egbuka. Hope he gets well soon.
There you go. There's your other Ohio State right here again.
Yeah. I guess I got to say IO. Five.
You don't have to. There's no obligation to that.
It just leaves you hanging. There's a grammatical term for that you have to finish. Like, you have to finish something if you know it. And yet, like, if I say liberty, liberty, liberty.
Liberty.
Of course. There's a grammatical term where people are just forced to finish, you know, that thing.
A lot of you.
I'll have to look it up and I'll let you guys know. Five. Ja'Marr Chase is the fifth leading receiver. Then Amon-Ra St. Brown, six. Here goes your Justin Jefferson, seven. Drake London. I'm talking about receivers now.
Yeah.
Drake London, then Zay Flowers.
Yeah, and it was at Amon-Ra St. Brown where I was like, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, because for me personally, and I think I've espoused this kind of thought process at some point during our time doing this show together, that I had kind of had a thought about Amon-Ra St. Brown that I was like, I'm not as high as everyone else is on him because I wonder if he is the type of receiver that forces defenses to adjust the way that they play.
Yeah.
And looking at this, I go, is this a thing? Because if you look at a half decade ago and maybe definitely a full decade ago, the receivers that you think of as the ones who terrify defenses and are the most productive are the Calvin Johnsons of the world, right? Guys that fit that type of mold.
Andre Johnson.
DeAndre
Hopkins.
We were just talking about Julio Jones, right? Yeah. Like, those were the ones that you thought of. When you look at a lot of those names, even some of the guys that were like, oh, kind of big body, they get their stuff all over the field. They get their stuff a lot of times in the middle field.
They get lined up in the slot.
Of course.
And we knew that, like, that lineup, but also just the type of guy. Like, those types of guys that you go, hey, man, this is just a slot guy. Also worth noting, not all those guys are the fastest guys in the world either, right? It's not just the pure physical, big body, fast dudes. Like, it is these technicians. It is these dudes that would previously have been looked at as a level of, I don't know, market inefficiency or what have you. Those are the guys that are at the top of production in this league. And so I go, is this a thing in the league? Not just, hey, this is a thing that's happening, but what does this say about the league? And how does this translate to the Houston Texans, who have a guy who maybe profiles more as a little bit of the old school style of guy, who, although we're seeing him get a little bit of movement to where he gets in the slot a bit. In fact, the touchdown that he scored a couple weeks ago over the middle of the field, he was the third option in. And he was in the middle, you know, a nice kind of inside route, in breaker, ball right perfectly on time, placed well at the goal line. But it's like guys are getting the ball in the middle of the field and from these slot positions. And it made me think immediately about Christian Kirk and Jalen Nolan.
Okay, so this made me think about defenses.
Okay,
interesting. Because I think what we're looking at here, and hear me out, as the people like to say, if you are a big-bodied, sort of not one-trick pony, because even players like Nico Collins can move around a little bit, but if you are by and large a big-bodied guy on the outside, defenses today can limit you. They can just flat-out limit you. But if you're not, if you can go inside, if you're good off of motion, if you can go outside, if you can you come out of the backfield, that's a lot more pressure on the defense to stop you. By the way, Nico Collins, 38th in receiving.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
Sure. Well, let me ask the question. Mm-hmm. Does that at all concern you or bother you? Do you make anything larger of that, or is that just
a little bit? Right? Because he was counted on so much, and in terms of, you know, being the guy, the one proven commodity on this team. But I think this is about defenses, because, you know, these guys are all over the field putting pressure on defenses. Defenses trying to adjust, and then you adjust to them, and they're in motion. And as I just laid out, they're kind of moving around all over the place, and you can't automatically say, "Oh, there's Nico. Here's the cornerback. Here's the safety. Boom. I think we can limit him. You're not going to, you know, limit him a little bit."
Yeah, and I think that with anything mm-hmm. in sports, when you see something rise, it is a reaction to mm-hmm. the other side of the football, and particularly in football, right? We talked about this at one point, the larger trend of maybe seeing more running of the football when you hit, you know, the Iron Dome over top. Shout out to Vic Fangio and all his proverbial sons in the league
yeah.
of everybody putting these two high shells up. And now teams are like, "Hey, you're getting light. You're playing exclusively yeah. nickel. Your safeties are off the ball. We're going to run the ball and mm-hmm. see if you have the ability to thump with us yeah. in that way." I think that you're also seeing some of that here as well, where you're right. Like, again, too high shell. We're limiting mm-hmm. the ability of the super fast receiver on the outside going deep. We're limiting the opportunities when we have a safety and a cornerback looking at those big body wide receivers of you just kind of going up and bodying. And we're going to try and see, especially when you have linebacker, only a couple of linebackers who maybe aren't as great in coverage.
Right.
And then, you know, smaller guys in the middle of the field, we're going to try and take advantage of that, especially as the league is no longer thumping in a different way. You don't have Jason Seahorn out here hitting dudes like Michael Irvin had to deal with and things of those natures. So I think that you're right. There's a reaction there. But the idea that you have this here, this is clearly the place where teams are making their money.
Yeah.
Right? Teams are making their money passing the football, at least to the highest degree, with these types of players and activating them. And some of this is like, you got to activate Nico Collins, which we've seen some of that to some degree. But it does make me go, we should be getting a decent amount of production out of your slot type guys.
And you're not.
Not yet.
You're not. So because even Nico Collins at 38, look at the guys ahead of him. 37, Ladd McConkey, another one of those guys.
My guy, Ladarius.
Yeah, one of those guys. That can, 36, Deebo Samuel. You know, guys that are versatile in how you can be implemented are the wave of the future. You can see it right here in the numbers. I love that you brought this up because I hadn't even thought of it. I just see the numbers and say, okay, well, that's a receiver that does this. But when you start looking at it closely, you realize what a coach would like to say. We got to figure out a way to get these guys the ball, these players the ball. Figuring out a way is a lot easier when players can go inside, outside, backfield, you know, motion, all that stuff. Whereas, and it's not necessarily a shot at Nick Caley's offense. It has been productive lately. But what I think it does illustrate, you're not getting what you need out of Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk was brought in for that.
Now,
and Jalen Noel, obviously on a curve, you know, grading him.
Well, yeah, and there's some qualifiers that we need across all of this when we bring this back home to the Houston Texans. First and foremost, I want to go back to Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I was not surprised to not see him be represented high, because this offense just flat out was not fully functional in the first 2-3 weeks
mm-hmm.
of the season. So I don't know how you expect the raw numbers of 5 or 6 weeks through the season to reflect his prowess
yeah.
with that. Similarly, Christian Kirk missed the first couple of weeks
he of did.
The season as well. That's going to put you behind the eight ball. And then Jalen Noel just hasn't had much opportunity. But when we've seen him get into the game, Christian Kirk also has not been
That's my point.
As much, mm-hmm. like, now we have to go qualitative as opposed to, like, the numbers and the quantitative part of mm-hmm. this. It has not looked as impactful at least as I have imagined, and honestly as I'd seen with, to be fair, a higher quality of slot-type receiver that we're seeing at the top of this. But I am interested to see how quickly he evolves in this and in the system and this comfort, especially coming off of a bye week where hopefully you find a little bit more of a jump than you would in mm-hmm. any other week-to-week situation. Because also you're stifling a guy that seems to have some capability in Jalen Noel by not putting him on the field right.
This is correct. But Christian Kirk, 3 games, 10 catches, 16 targets, ranks 138th in the NFL in receiving. What that tells me
that's is, total yards. Let me see if I can find one that's a little bit more kind
of moment friendly.
Yeah.
But no, but I think, you know, if we're just trusting our eyes on this, have you seen Christian Kirk really fight for the ball in traffic? Really be able to and it sounds critical of him, but I think it's just his body type, the way that he's never really been a guy that can you know, that can get open a number of different ways, even though they've used him inside and out, mostly inside. So maybe he just, it's just a matter of the game plan, the offense sort of adapting to him a little better.
And I was watching the QB school, JT O'Sullivan, as a quarterback, mm-hmm. former quarterback. And, you know, he breaks down film. He actually did a pretty good breakdown of CJ Stroud versus in the offense rather versus the Ravens. And one of the things, there's like a play where it's very evident that Christian Kirk has like an option route, mm-hmm. and he decides to take it deep. And in that moment, what CJ Stroud probably needs is a dude who's just open to the flat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm looking for. I don't think I need him to be the Zay Flowers and the Amon-Ra St. Brown, mm-hmm. and, of course, the Jackson Smith and Jigba, even though that could be helpful, clearly. Mm-hmm. If you get somebody who's going to put up those type of yards, yeah, give me that. I do, though, want to see him find his full home in this offense, because clearly that slot is a very important portion of what's happening in this league. It's clearly a very important portion of what this offense looks like. And right now he's not at the full extent of that. Some of that is to be expected with, you know, the late coming on, mm-hmm. but also I think that's clearly going to be important for CJ Stroud, who's already doing, he's starting to maximize what he's capable of doing and what I think his portion of this. I think now you look at some of the pieces around him and say, what are you bringing to the table to help elevate this offense? Because it's super important with this stretch run that you're coming into.
And last thing on this with the receivers and how they're using them, we do have to go back to the style of offense that they run. You know, even though they put up, 44 against the Ravens, it's still an offense that is not going to be a lot more chunk plays, downfield throws. It's a pick your spots on the big throws type of offense. So it also ties in a little bit with Nick Caley and his approach, too.
Yeah, so this is going to be something, again, I was like, is this mm-hmm. a thing?
Where, well, I think it is.
And I think it is as well, and I want to see how the Texans ultimately relate to it, mm-hmm. whether it's getting Nico Collins kind of slot opportunities, which I know isn't necessarily the fullness of this, but that's clearly a portion of it. And we've seen the early developments on that, so I'm actually mm-hmm. willing to give that a check. I think also seeing Christian Kirk develop as more of a threat there, and hopefully, I think the thing that we've all been clamoring for, seeing a little bit more of Jalen Knoll, getting some opportunities there, because this is clearly an effective portion of the NFL at this moment. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next tonight, you get the third preseason game in the Houston Rockets preseason schedule. We are a week out from the season opening. What do you need to see in these last two preseason games from the Rockets? And I think I need to walk back a comment I made last year about a particular Houston Rocket. We'll do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, the number to text, 713-572-4610. Remember for the 832, and I did make mention of this, Christian Kirk has played in three games. Most of those wide mm-hmm. receivers have played five or six. Which
it's
is
early.
And that was
it's early.
And that's why I was like, look, I'm not going to hold
Figgy-isms.
It against him.
We got to make that a question of the day.
What are your favorite in the loop-isms or 610-isms, right? That might be a fun
it's
one
early.
That we circle back around to at some point. But yeah, like, but that's what I was saying is, like, qualitatively, there is still some things for Christian Kirk to show. And I think there's still a level of figuring out what the system is. Because I think for him also, don't forget, you go back to training camp where he was like, slot receiver, particularly in this offense, is one of, if not the most difficult positions on the field outside of quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's had to jump into that without these few weeks. And honestly, because he got injured a little bit late into training camp as well. Yeah. Like he missed a little bit of the finishing touches on that as well. And we've seen with our own eyes this offense grow over the first five weeks of the season. So there's still some picking up. But I think my point was not necessarily to come down on him, but to be like, hey, I'm watching that space, especially with that trend that seems like it's going on there in the NFL. A trend that is absolutely going on with your Houston Rockets, they're winning preseason games. What does that mean for you? I don't necessarily know. However, there's only two more of them before a week from today, they open up the NBA regular season against the reigning NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder, on their home floor at the Paycor Center there in Oklahoma City.
I forgot they won the championship.
Right?
I was just thinking, like, who won? I don't know why I thought it was Boston or something.
Yeah. Because that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
I totally forgot about them.
I'm off. My memory, it can be incredibly terrible. In fact, I'm sure you guys have seen it a number of times. But the one thing that the one thing I can go back, I see what you're doing. The one thing I can go back really far on is NBA champions. I could take you all the way back to 89. I don't know why that. Actually, I could take you back to 87.
I was about to say, who was the last five?
The last five? Okay, we're actually going to do this. So you have Thunder 2025. Dude, you had Celtics 24. Like
I would lose a lot of money.
I would look like a freaking idiot.
Get these guys off the air.
You had Nuggets 23. You had Warriors 22. You had Bucks 21.
Sure.
So there you go. Those are
I'll take your word for it.
I trust you on that one, man.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but none of them played on NBA on NBC. That's the opening tip-off. Again, next week, the 21st, we've got the we've got what that's going to look like. It's going to be Mike Tirico on the play-by-play. Reggie Miller and Jamal Crawford are the analysts. Carmelo Anthony, former Houston Rocket.
Be there for the start of it. That's for dang sure.
That'll be really fun. But before we get there, there's two more preseason games that you got. You got the Pelicans tonight, in fact, in New Orleans. Actually, is that at home? What do you need to see from these Rockets still in these final two preseason games to make you fully confident going into that matchup to start the season versus the Thunder?
Well, as you know, I don't watch NBA preseason games. I keep up with the developments.
Not even with Kevin Durant on the floor? Not even with the story that's out
here? I checked in on Kevin Durant. You're right. Was it Friday?
You're a jerk.
Was it Friday? I checked in on that. I want to. You know, to me, it's about the regular season. But obviously, in this business, you got to keep up with everything and see.
I think
what
it was.
Saying,
was it Wednesday?
Was it Wednesday?
Oh no, I'm talking about the first one.
Oh no.
No, the first one
with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's the first one with Kevin Durant.
But it is worth remembering also that shout out to Danielle Lerner, covers the Rockets for the Chronicle. They're taking these two games as dress rehearsals.
So that's important.
So yeah. So like, this isn't just any other preseason game. It is worth noting.
So. Here's what I want to see, and this has really just been in the last, you know, 2-3 days where I almost feel like we're overthinking this whole point guard thing. I really am.
Okay.
Reed Sheppard is the number 3 pick, and it goes back to me, like, what do you do really well naturally? Like, what are you naturally gifted at?
Okay.
He's a naturally gifted shooter, a naturally gifted distributor. That's your point guard. You know, if his off-season work in the weight room and defense has improved at all, it's Reed Sheppard. And I want to see that. I want to see, you know, him on the things that he might have improved on. Amen Thompson obviously can do some things. Obviously, you know, you can run through Kevin Durant. You can run through Şengün. But if you're talking about, like, a classic defensive-minded, run your half-court offense coach, like, you know, Ime Udoka, then – it's Reed Sheppard.
I actually disagree.
It's Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard's your point guard.
I think you came to the answer that it feels like the earlier preseason games are starting to give us. I need to see how this works in full dress rehearsal fashion with point Alperin. This is the sub tease that I gave, which I have to give an apology. Last season there was a point where I was like, hey, all this baby Jokic stuff, I think he might be more baby Sabonis, like DeMontis Sabonis. Yeah, I got to walk that one back. Like, the Eurobasket, the things that he was able to do there, the progression that he has had in his career, Alperen Şengün, over this summer, and the early things that we've seen from him as a passing hub and as an offensive hub, I think I need to see them lean fully into the idea, and it feels like they are to some degree, that Alperen Şengün is your hub, and you actually try and do this kind of like what the Nuggets have done.
I think they're going to do that some. I think they're going to run through Durant some. I think they're going to run Amen some. But your starting point guard is Reed Sheppard. to me. I think it's just it's a common sense thing, unless he's just, and we'll find out soon enough, you know, first 15, 20 games, unless it's just an incredible liability, you know, on the defensive side or however, you know, however you want to relay it. But yeah, they're going to run through Sengun and he's going to be integral. He's going to be very key. But I think in terms of like, and they're going to run the big lineup too. I think they're going to do all those things. But, you know, day in, day out, walk them out there, get started with Reed Sheppard as your point guard.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've definitely lost belief that that is what you should do for a large amount of minutes, which obviously I think is when you're talking about starters, you're not just talking about who's out there on the floor to start.
Biggest
you're talking
minutes.
About who has the lion's share of minutes at these positions. And I actually don't think that Reed Sheppard is that. I think that he probably profiles more as a seventh man right now than he does as a starting point guard, which is a little frustrating. But I think as an organization, and if you follow these Rockets, you should be a little bit okay with the idea that, hey, you have a number three overall pick that doesn't immediately become a, you know, a foundational piece in your starting lineup, because look at Jabari Smith Jr. Like, that is also one of the things I need to see, is just more Jabari Smith Jr. And also more in certain, in the right ways. I think that he is definitely finding, and shout out to B. Scott, who made this point, I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday last week, that he is becoming a little bit more of a creator unto himself. Like, I saw him turn some corners that previous Jabari Smith Jr. I did not anticipate. He talked about, you know, increasing his handle and getting better at that. And I'm seeing evidence of it, because sometimes the talk of what did you work on in the offseason? It's just
it's
that.
It's just crap, yeah.
You're seeing the evidence of it. I want to see him be more of that. Now, there's some of these where he's taking, you know, 180 pull-up turnaround jumpers from the mid-range, and I'm like, hey, dog, you're not full Kevin Durant just yet. But I do want to see more Jabari playing with this level of confidence, because I think that that could be another huge point where you go, who are the bucket getters, especially if you don't have guys that are creating for you and setting the table for you. Having more guys that can get their own thing is going to be important. You clearly have Kevin Durant as that. Amen, when he gets downhill, can exist as some of that. Alperen clearly can do some of that. If you now add Jabari, who can get his own shot, this becomes a little bit more tenable, even if it's not as assist-oriented
as
maybe
you want. But where's the pulse of this offense? You know, you need a guy that ultimately will bring the ball up, distribute, be able to knock down the shot, because they're going to, you know, obviously they're going to be worried about some other guys on the floor. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong that these are all going to be elements of this team for big chunks of just about every game. I just feel, you know, that this is your point guard. Let's see how it rolls. And then you can make a change. And a texter on the YouTube channel pointed out, you know, the starting point guard might not even be on this team. You know, so that's a possibility as well. And that's December 15th, so you'll have time to figure it out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. One thing that I wanted to get in here, and I kind of backloaded it because I'm a little bit of a coward. I want to see them tighten up on defense, right? This is going to be a team. They're not abandoning the identity that we are going to be heavily defensive. We're going to get these boards. And they've leaned even heavier into the double big lineups, acquiring Clint Capella, who's obviously gotten his time. Steven Adams still going to get that time as well. Now, it was the first two preseason games. It was the Hawks and the Jazz, but it was also the Hawks and the Jazz.
Yeah.
And those teams scored 113 and 127 points, respectively. Now, you put up a whole bunch of points yourself, but there was times where you were running that zone with those double bigs where people were getting into the heart of it way too easily.
Yeah.
I want to see that tighten up, because you need to be that strong defensive team if that identity works. And I think you clearly have the pieces for it. Don't get lax on the execution of it. That's something that I would like to see in these two games. But it begins tonight, 7 p.m. versus the Pelicans. Obviously, that's going to be on Space City Home Network, as Rockets games often are. Excited to see that, especially because I'm going to be hosting a watch party for the season opener next Tuesday as well. So I'm excited to get some Rockets basketball going here in the city of Houston. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. And inspired by, funny enough, postseason baseball. 713-572-4610. What are some incredible moments that would have been legendary but are lost to time because the team lost? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. Yeah, question of the day, Tom, ladies and gentlemen. What are some incredible moments that would have been legendary but your team lost? 713-572-4610, the number to text. Appreciate you getting involved here. And this was inspired by a little bit of postseason baseball, NLCS happening, Yes, NLCS happening out there between the Dodgers and the Brewers. And early on in this game,
first inning?
Was this the first inning?
First inning, I believe.
Because I remember it was still 0-0 at this point. And I mean,
first or second?
All right, now I'm just gonna have to watch the video again and make sure. But
well,
yeah.
we have it. We have
no. This is in the fourth. This is in the fourth, yeah. Right? So this is the fourth. Max Muncy's at the plate for the Dodgers. Still 0-0, and the bases are juiced. So the Dodgers threatening to break this one open to some degree. What has been a stalemate to this point in Game One of the NLCS, and this is what it sounded like.
And Muncy skies one to center field, hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out. It's a forced play at the plate. And he is out.
That was incredible. And frankly, I don't know how the Brewers didn't win after that. You know, just suck all the life out of the Dodgers. For those who didn't see it, deep drive, going to the wall, hits his glove, bounces off the wall, and then he catches it. But it's not a catch because it hit the wall. So the wall, obviously part of the field.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they thought they were tagging up. Then they start running to home plate, throw to the shortstop. Shortstop throws to the catcher. Boom, out at first on a force out.
Yes.
On a force out.
That's why the play, was that Joe Davis yeah. on Fox who go, or no, that's not Fox because that's on Turner.
Yeah.
But it's like, yo, that's that he's safe because he didn't tag him. Like, nope, it's a force.
It's a force.
It's a force play at home. And so you get out of an incredible jam and you keep this thing going.
How do you not win that game? You suck the life out of the Dodgers. You make this incredible play. You're at home. The crowd is juiced. You come to the plate and then you end up losing the game. So it's
that'd be a play he'd talk about on this podcast 40 years from now.
Yes, it will be. But what he'll be saying is
greatest play I ever made.
It's kind of a footnote. It really is kind of a footnote. And maybe that's what we're saying here on the question of the day. What are some incredible moments that would have been legendary, but your team lost? You know, it ended up being just a footnote. That's one. And it got me started. It started me thinking about other plays. Couple came to mind. I'm curious on yours, 713-572-4610. On a personal level, 2012, Johnny Manziel goes into Alabama, beats Alabama. 2013, Alabama comes to Kyle Field. Aggies are losing. On their own five-yard line. You remember the play?
Yes.
On their own five-yard line, Johnny Manziel runs around like the maniac that he is.
That's right.
From the end zone, throws the ball to Mike Evans, 95-yard touchdown. I don't know if that tied it or drew him close, but either way, that 95-yard touchdown, everybody's like, holy smokes, he's going to do it again. But they ended up losing that game.
Why are you surprised? That was the play. That was the Texas A&M play. Johnny Manziel got into the huddle, and he was like,
I'm going to run around,
throw it to Mike. All right, on one, break. Like, that was the play. No, that was a incredible play. And I remember that because we had gotten to the point where we're like, oh, okay, so, like, this is Nick Saban's problem.
Yeah.
You get a mobile quarterback and you will eat his lunch. And he was like, we are ending this now. We are stopping this.
But then it changed his demeanor.
100%
about quarterbacks like that.
And again, I think it's one of those things that he absolutely loves is moments of coaching where he gets an opportunity. Oh, I get an opportunity to be mad and coach something. Let's do it. That's absolutely one. You know what's funny? The one for me, and there's a lot of them obviously in Houston sports history, but the one that comes to my mind immediately when you talk about this isn't even something that is particular to one of my sports fandoms or anything. It is just NBA basketball. It is Western Conference, I think, semis. I can't even remember what year it was. It might have been 2004, interestingly enough, as 2004 comes up a few times. It is Lakers. It is Spurs. You remember the significance of 0.4 seconds?
Oh, yeah, Fisher.
Yeah, Derek Fisher hits just a incredible turnaround mid-range jumper that goes nothing but net, and he didn't even look at the rim.
He just ran to the locker room.
Yeah, they end up winning by 1 point. You want to know why they were down by 1 point? Because on the other end, when the Spurs were down by 1 point, it is Tim Duncan guarded by Shaquille O'Neal with Karl Malone coming over to help and hitting a turnaround mid-range jumper that is just absolute cash.
Yeah.
Like, not only is this a difficult shot, you're being guarded by two of the greatest, one of them with the asterisk, players of all time in the NBA. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, we're just going to put this up and make it because yeah. I am an incredible player. And Tim Duncan, one of the best to ever happen. And nobody thinks about that because mm-hmm. Derek Fisher.
I totally forgot about that.
Chucked up some trash.
Yeah. Yeah, the one I think about was 2009. It was the Cavs versus the Magic. Mm-hmm. And LeBron hit that long game winner, mm-hmm. that crazy game winner, which they were down by 24.
Yeah.
So the Magic blew a 24-point lead. That's kind of sound familiar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, LeBron hit that game winner, like incredible shot, but they end up losing the series.
that's what we're talking about. Like, it's kind of a footnote now. People yeah, don't even talk
that's
about
more
it.
Of a personal and, accolade at
and,
that
and
point.
Sometimes it's not just in the same game. It's just in a series like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You've heard me talk about Mike Scott a million times. Mm. I mean, the most untouchable pitcher run of pitching I've ever seen in my life. They ended up losing that series in 86.
A great point that came in on the text line. Alluded to the 2004 NLCS Game 7, Astros Cards in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Leadoff batter is Craig Biggio, and he goes yard. Mm-hmm. Like, this should be
in
all
St.
the
Louis.
Energy. In St. Louis, Game 7, and...
Your boy was there.
You were?
Yeah.
And so you'll remember this, mm-hmm. that you got Roger on the mound and everything. So once you lead off homer, you got to be like...
Clemens pitching.
All right. let's do this. Yeah. In fact, you go up 2-0 because you have a sac fly, I believe, in the third. And then you get all the way to the sixth. Roger Clemens doing his damn thing, not mm-hmm. allowing no runs on the board. And then here comes an Albert Pujols double after... Actually, let me start in the bottom of the sixth. They go single, and then they go ground out. So it's two outs, man on third. Albert Pujols hits a double, so that scores a run. We're tied. I think that it had been 2-1
yeah.
before that point. So, yeah, at that point, it becomes 2-2. And then there is a home run that scores Pujols and Scott Rolen. And then it's like all of a sudden you go from we have a lead, 2-1. Roger Clemens is doing what he does. We're getting to the sixth. We're probably going to hand it to the bullpen relatively soon to, oh, we are down.
Yeah.
We are on the road. I imagine this. You probably could speak to this. How did the building feel at that moment?
Yeah,
like that's rough. And it all started with Craig Biggio lead-off home run to establish the way that this game should mm-hmm. have gone.
And it's a footnote now, both of those things. How did we miss? Texters haven't missed this because we've got a bunch of text on this. Block punt, 24-0. Boom, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Block punt, let's go.
Yeah. I got another one. Actually, this was 2007. Remember a thing called the BCS National Championship?
Oh, yeah.
I used to love the BCS National
Championship. Yeah,
you would.
Yeah, it was it was Ohio State
we
versus
had computers
Florida.
Making decisions. It was a beautiful time.
Yeah, but it was Ohio State versus Florida. First the kickoff of the game, Ted Ginn ran it back like 93 yards.
That was a play.
I was at work. I used to work at a group home. Mm-hmm. So we were all watching the game. Everybody in there standing up, jumping up and down, like, yeah. And then Ted Ginn is from, he's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's one of us. So we like, yeah, there go Ted Ginn. Yeah. Yep, they lost that game.
Yep, they lost that one. Another one I thought of.
Might have been the only touchdown in that game.
They got worked.
Think about it.
They got worked.
Yeah.
Last year, I mean, when beat Duke. Like, a game that Duke probably should have won, but UH's defense and their big plays down the stretch. And that's going to be a footnote because they ended up, the same thing happened to them against Florida.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. Some other ones that came in, somebody was talking about just generally the 16-0 Patriots. I feel like people mm-hmm. think about that, though. Like, that one doesn't get lost.
Not like they would have.
No.
You wouldn't have been talking about the 72 Dolphins, who, by the way, they've already popped champagne.
Now, that's true. I hadn't thought
they've
about it.
They've already
popped
champagne. But even with that Patriots, that team was so dominant, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was no way they were going to lose,
but
man.
But they did.
Yeah, but like I've never seen a quarterback and receiver duo like that with Randy Moss.
That's what I'm saying. That, the only person for whom I might feel sorry is Randy Moss. All them other jokers.
That was legendary, man. And then everybody thought Randy Moss was washed too because he had went to
or a
Oakland.
Problem or something. Yeah.
He went over there and was legendary.
Mm-hmm. God, Randy Moss. What an incredible player. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL with. Whatever the hell that was on Monday Night Football, derogatory and congratulatory, but then also this Amy Adams Strunk thing. We got to talk through this because the Titans are in a bad way, but I think I want to juxtapose it with the Texans. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.